Wednesday night midweek hour discussion group on the topic, Can a Person Be Cursed? The date's April 22, 1981. Our study tonight has to do with, can a Christian be cursed, or can you curse a person? And we want it to be a dialogue. We want you to enter in. We want you to tell us frankly what you think, what you feel. And if you disagree with what I'm saying, feel free to disagree. We can disagree without being disagreeable. And if you disagree with one sitting next to you, or the one behind you, or in front of you, that's okay too. It's healthy that we do dialogue tonight on the subject of cursing. I curse you, Pam, in the name of, I just curse you. Can I do that, and can she be cursed? Or can you receive a curse from someone else? In a written form, you open up a letter and it says, the one who reads this, curses be on you. Or like the old treasure maps, you know, curse and a spell upon you who read this, and if you find the treasure.
And the chain letters.
And the chain letters, curses upon you. Okay, is there such a thing as a curse? And first of all, what is cursing? Now, we're not talking about God damn you, and we're not talking about the foul language that we think of when we talk about cursing. That's cursing. We're talking about cursing. Cursing is cursing, not cursing. So, what is cursing? Well, if I want God to give Jean a blessing of health with her tumor, I would say something like, God, I'm asking you to please just heal her, bless her. And that prayer is a wish that's God-word for her. And it's the opposite of a curse. Whereas somebody may say, I curse you. So if a prayer to Godward is wanting to give you a blessing, then a curse is a quote prayer, but directed to not the eternal God, but to Lucifer.
The reverse of that, I would think, you may disagree with this, would be Jean standing on the word that God will heal her. And you stand behind her and ask God's blessing on her. I believe that a curse can be, I don't believe God can do this. I don't believe he's going to do it. I think she's lost her mind. She needs to go to a doctor and do what she's supposed to do. I believe you're putting a curse on her.
By speaking negative things. Okay, it's a good comment. If blessing conveys a wish for prosperity, then cursing conveys a wish toward what is negative. And a curse in biblical days was considered to possess an inherent power of carrying itself into effect. The use of magic and spells, you've heard of all this, you've read about it in nursery tales even. Casting spells upon people is the belief that it is possible to support and to enlist the support of superhuman beings that we call demons, which the universe abounds, and to persuade them to carry out your wish. And can you think of anything in history that comes to your mind, or maybe in your own experience, where a curse has been pronounced upon nation, people, group, or does anything come to your mind pulling out from your memory bank about cursing? Okay, I guess you could interpret that as being a form of a curse. Right, right.
Well, any nation that goes against Israel is in trouble with the Lord.
That's true, too.
Right. We're supposed to pray for Israel all the time. That's something that's hard to remember, but we are. Mm-hmm. And the nation that does good to them will be blessed, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's all interwoven. Well, think for a moment about this idea of a person cursing someone. The curse carries with it a negative connotation. And if I want something bad to happen to you, then I try to curse you. I place a curse upon you. And when I do that, I am enlisting the support of these demonic spirits to carry out my curse. Just like when I'm asking God to bless you, I am enlisting God's angels to come down and bless you. Now, if you turn to 1 Samuel, just to get some biblical background, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23. And we need to read this from a translation other than the TEV. Verse 43. And we can read from the TEV. It's on page 316 in the Old Testament. 316 in the Old Testament, and it's 1 Samuel 17, verse 43. He said to David, this is a dialogue between David and Goliath. Goliath said to David, "What's that stick for? Do you think I'm a dog?" He's talking about his slingshot now. And he called down what?
Curses.
Now, where did the curses come from? From his God. Now, this isn't Jehovah God. On David. So he cursed David on behalf of his gods. So the point I'm trying to make is that there have been people who have cursed in the name of gods, and they have believed that their gods, and of course Satan's angels would take care of the situation. Without turning to it, we have in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and chapter 21 a situation where a curse was placed on a mountain and a blessing was placed on another mountain. The curse was the penalty for disobedience. The blessing was the reward for obedience. I think society is divided today into two groups of people. We are cursed people and we are blessed people. At the same time, as a blessed person, I have two natures, and one of which is a cursed nature, which we'll get into because of why we are cursed by God. And that's another subject. Can God curse us? I think you'll be surprised tonight to find that we are all under a great curse by God. Well, when a curse is pronounced, no matter how violent it is, I guess society is divided into two groups. Some believe that it will come to pass or it can come to pass, and others believe that it cannot come to pass. And I'm really not in a position to answer that dogmatically, but I'd like for you to turn to Proverbs 26:2, and it will raise an interesting question about the Christian being cursed by a non-Christian. Page 718 in the Old Testament. Proverbs 26:2 talks about curses. Somebody read.
Curses cannot hurt you unless you deserve them. They are like birds that fly by and never light.
Okay.
It seems to me like curses would be pretty hard to sort out from punishment.
Well, yes. At times it would carry the same connotation. But it says here that curses cannot hurt you unless you deserve them. Which leads me to say that if somebody curses me, I'm not really going to be able to take that curse unless I allow myself to be open to receive the curse, or unless it says here I deserve the curse. On the other hand, the interpretation could be just the opposite, that you could accept the curse that was placed upon you. If you are a child of the King, and if you have your armor up, it seems to me that you can't receive the curse. But the problem is, we don't always have the armor up. And it's at this point that the Christian can receive the curse.
Don't you also think that a curse could come through the family line?
From generation to generation.
Yeah, sin to the fathers.
Yes.
Mine says an undeserved curse has no effect.
That's true.
Well, I wouldn't think you could curse Christian with heathen gods anyway. if you had your arm out to protect them.
Satan is very sly, and he's trying to pull us down, and he's attacking us all the time through the curses of Satan and through the curses of people who are little devils in this world. And there are, it depends on what you call a curse. Now, you may say Job was cursed. You know, what is really a curse? Job was allowed to be, quote, cursed by Satan because Satan wanted to. If you consider that a curse, or you may not consider it a curse. You brought up something interesting, Sue, about what about generations past? Very definitely, I believe that there could have been placed something in my history that's going to stay in my bloodline until I do something about it. This may be a surprise to many, if not all of you, but I would never allow a blood transfusion on any of my children or myself unless I first prayed for and covered that blood with another kind of blood, the blood of Jesus. Because it has been proven that demonic spirits that have been in a person due to various things have been in the blood and have been transferred to a very, quote, righteous kind of a person who, after the blood transfusion, took upon himself some very bad characteristics that were in other people. That's why I do believe, as you say, or ask the question, can you do it? Yes, you can receive what's been given. But here again, we go back to the guidebook. The guidebook says we don't have to accept our inheritance. We can cancel that inheritance. And that's why it's important for us to pray a very simple prayer, which we will the night before we leave, to counteract and to cancel these, quote, curses or whatever you wish to call them that may be bombarding us. Now, in the case of Balaam, in Numbers 22, he was an expert in this art of cursing, and Balak was convinced that Balaam's curse would bring about the defeat of the Israelites. You know, three times he asked him, come on now, curse these people, because he knew that if the prophet cursed the people, that the people would receive the punishment. Of course, Balaam did not do that. Regarding the law of God, go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. I think it's important to note that I stand before you under a curse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 and verse 13. Because the violator of the law, which you're looking at a violator, is under a curse, and my doom has been pronounced, escape's impossible, except on the cross. Jesus Christ endured what? He endured the curse. Now, Galatians 3:10 says, those who, page 252 in the New Testament, those who depend on obeying the law live under what? A curse. If you're trying to live the law, then you are under a curse. For the scripture says, whoever does not always obey everything that is written in the book of the law is under God's curse. It says, everything that's written. Now, we can't keep the law, so we are under the curse. Now, it is clear that no one is put right with God by means of the law, because the scripture says, only the person who is put right with God through faith shall live. But the law has nothing to do with faith. Instead, as the scripture says, whoever does everything the law requires will live. But by becoming a what? A curse for us, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse that the law brings. For the scripture says, anyone who is hanged on a tree is under what? God's curse. So, God's Son took the curse for each one of us. We have violated the law, and so Jesus hung upon the tree. Now we still violate the law, and we still are under the curse of God.
Can I ask you a question?
You sure may.
Okay, she said, Sue said that curses can be from back from generations to generations, right? Jewish people were cursed for putting Christ on the cross and everything, does that mean all Jewish people? What is that? Well, I was born and raised Jewish, and I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on.
You're in the blood.
You're
in the blood.
Yeah, the blood cancels
all
the curses.
All
right.
Well, Jewish isn't really a bloodline anyway. It's a religion, isn't it? To be Jewish.
But it is a bloodline, too.
Yeah, but...
It's not a bloodline, it's a living, it's a religion and a political. Religion and political.
Anyway, you're not a Christian.
Well, that's good.
Well,
you want to be cursed.
It's like...
we don't have anything to be afraid of here. Once you accept Jesus,
yeah.
You're not living under the law, you're living under the new commandments. There's no fear.
Okay, then in other words, my relatives that do practice the Jewish religion are still living under curse.
But that's their problem, like.
Law, which has been fulfilled. It has no purpose. It's just a way of getting along in society.
But it wouldn't affect you today.
It doesn't affect a Christian who's accepted Christ.
Yeah.
You can't live under curse and be and belong to Jesus.
It doesn't particularly mean Jewish. All religious figures are trying to live under the law. People that call themselves Christians because they go to Christian churches, but they're just religious,
yeah.
And they're trying to live
okay. Then let's step in from this to something new. Even though I am a Christian, the Bible tells me that I am still cursed. For example, if you turn to Malachi chapter 3, verse 9, we'll let one of you read it. Page 1040 in the Old Testament. Malachi 3:9. We can begin with verse 8, I suppose. Somebody read verse 8 and 9. That's pretty heavy. So I have the authority to say tonight that if anybody here, because you're the ones I'm responsible to, if you're listening to this dialogue message tonight and study, if any of us here do not tithe, then we are under a curse, according to the Word of God. A curse is on you because you're cheating me.
It's the truth, too.
It is the truth. But people don't like to think that. But
well, now, this is Old Testament, so... Does that still apply to the New Testament?
It certainly does. Every time I don't tithe, I'm always sorry for
it. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just trying to argue.
Yeah. I've heard that argument before. I'm not going to tithe because that's the Old Testament.
Right.
Jesus did condone the tithe. And so since he condoned the tithe, he would condone those scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about tithing.
Wait, how is it put there to abide by the law?
I think we're tangled up in the words again.
Yeah.
That's why the law didn't work in the first place. You can interpret it any way you want it to.
Yeah.
A Christian doesn't have a fear of being living under a curse. Mm-hmm. The Christian has the pleasure of tithing or whatever, or he can suffer the consequences.
And the consequences is a curse.
Not in my life, it's not a curse.
Yeah.
To me, I don't use the word curse because I don't like it.
Well,
I like to think beyond what can I do instead of it. You know.
I can't buy that because it says here that if you don't tithe, you're under a curse.
Well, I'm not going to argue with one way or the other.
Yeah.
But I don't live under a curse in the sense of a witch putting a curse on me.
No. This is God. This is
if
God.
If I had to live that way, what would be the point of being a Christian in the first place? Why would you accept Christ and become a son of God if you're still under a curse?
Okay. Then, with the same thing, the second way that we can become under a curse is when you trust a man instead of God. Jeremiah, and in the Proverbs, says, you are cursed if you trust in man instead of trusting in God. There are things that you know that you do or that you're not doing. It also tells us in the Bible that if your family is not properly structured, you're under a curse. Malachi 4:6. It says that if you lie with your father's wife, or with a beast, or with your sister, or a daughter of your father or mother, you are under a curse. And it's same, I mean, it's the same category of the tithing and what have you. If you smite your neighbor secretly, you're under a curse. And if you try to please God by obeying the commandments instead of trusting Christ, beside Galatians 3:10, we have some more in Deuteronomy that says you're under the curse. And then further, if you refuse to confirm to the Word of God, then the Bible says that you are under a curse.
Can you back up a minute?
Sure.
You said if you live by the Ten Commandments and not by God, you're under a curse?
As if you try to please God by obeying His commandments.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, you're supposed to obey His commandments.
Then how could you be under a curse?
Okay, because the difference is the law and Jesus. There are people who are obeying the Ten Commandments who will never step foot in heaven, like your Jewish friends, for example. Keeping the law doesn't get you to heaven. The thing that gets you to heaven is your belief in Jesus. And so if a person is trying to please God by keeping the commandments and not their relationship by faith with Jesus, then the Bible says they would be cursed.
And for a lot of Catholics too, what the church does, you know, the doctrine they're going by. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, that don't really know God, they're just going there.
Right.
You know, because they used to every Sunday go to church, you know, doing all wrong when they come out.
Mm-hmm.
I would say in my hometown, which is very small, at least 60% of the people would do better to stay home.
They go to the church.
It's true, though. You know, they people, like, even an uncle of mine, it's a good example. He's a wine businessman. He hasn't paid taxes, you know. Now he died and my aunt has to pay taxes all the time. Every Sunday he sings the loudest in church, you know. And that's just the idea, right? Religion.
But little by little, like yourself, you found a new birth with Jesus. And,
yes, I'm glad for that.
Praise the Lord for that, right?
Isn't it written about a curse on generations to come, up to, it's like 10 generations. I know I read it someplace.
You read it one time.
Yeah, I know. I can't figure out where. I can't remember where. But for maybe something the ancestors done, even up to 10 generations later, they still can be cursed for what was done then.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But that's why it's so important to become a Christian and then to counteract all of this that could well be. Mm-hmm. Because we do not have to accept our inheritance that way. A curse on any, there's just some curses here. A curse on anyone who secretly commits murder. A curse on anyone who accepts money to murder an innocent person. A curse on anyone who does not obey all of God's laws and teachings. A curse on anyone who dishonors his father or mother. A curse on anyone who moves a neighbor's property line. A curse on anyone, it says God's curse on anyone who leads a blind man in the wrong direction. God's curse on anyone who deprives foreigners, orphans, and widows of their rights. And there are just a lot of curses here that it all boils down to disobedience. And when we are disobedient, we have to receive God's curse upon us. The curse is a heavy word. It's an ugly word, and yet it's the only way God knows to deal with what is opposite His nature, because God is holy and righteous, and we are just the opposite. There are some scriptures in the New Testament that we can look at that talk about cursing. In John chapter 7, verse 49, we can just hit this one verse. This crowd does not know the law of Moses, so they are under God's curse. This has to do with the unbelief of the Jewish authorities. Mark 11:21 says, Peter remembered what had happened and said to Jesus, "Look, teacher, the fig tree you cursed has died." Some people have a hard time saying, understanding that God can actually curse somebody. Well, here, Jesus, the Son of God, cursed a tree, and the tree died. Luke 6:28. We are to do something pretty special. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. Now, whatever context the word curse comes across to you now, you have an obligation to bless the person who might be cursing you. Romans 12:14 on the same line. Ask God to bless those who persecute you. Yes, ask Him to bless and not to curse. Well, I've heard people ask God to curse somebody because those people were cursing them, but that's contrary to the scripture teachings. And in the same line, we have James that reads chapter 3, verse 9. We use it, that is, our tongue, to give thanks to our Lord and Father, and we use our tongue to curse our fellow man who is treated in the likeness of God. Now, if it were not possible for me to curse you, I would not be able, it wouldn't, you know, the scripture wouldn't be true. The scripture is true, and it says here that we are able to curse people with our tongue. And why goes back to verse 6?
Well, I think it's just a word that's used instead of unforgiveness sometimes. Somebody was telling us, Bible study or something one time, I remember that this person themselves had realized after a person, so that another person died, that they'd never forgiven them. And this lady said that as long as she had that against that person, why, she was holding them back or in some way, or
unforgiveness can do that.
I would think it would be between you and God. I wouldn't think it would be between that to each other, but that was just part of the conversation.
John 20:23 speaks of that, the unforgiveness.
That must have been what she was talking about.
If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven, and if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Paul was standing right there stoning Stephen, and we wondered what would happen to Paul if Stephen had not said, "Father, forgive them."
Forgiveness is extremely important. If you don't forgive, your sins are not forgiven, and it relates right in here too. Well, I do believe that there are people who have been damaged by the curse of people, and they've been Christian people as well. And I believe that we have become the victims of curse. Well, let me just give you a conclusion illustration. This girl has very bad headaches on the right-hand side of her head. They're really severe, and so she went to a pastor and said, "I want you to pray a prayer of deliverance for me to help get these headaches away." And so the first question was, "So have you been dabbling in the occult in any way?" And she said, "No, I had never done this." Went through a list of things, forgiveness, etc. There was absolutely nothing that the person could think of. So then the counselor suggested about the dolls. "Have you ever played with dolls when you were little?" She said, "Well, sure." "Do you have any in the house now?" And the party said, "No, I don't have any in the house now. They've all been thrown away." And so she was prayed for, got no relief at all. Then she went home, and she remembered that as she saw it, in the kitchen, on the toaster cover, was a doll. It was a doll that had been made in one of the Latin American countries. And as she looked at it closely, she realized that, it could be what this guy was talking about. So she calls the pastor up, she brings it to him, and he says he believes that this is exactly what's been causing her headaches. She has been cursed. When they examined it very carefully, the cover for the toaster, the doll on the top, they discovered that right behind the ear on the right-hand side, there was a pin stuck in it. And when the pin was removed, with the prayer of deliverance, her headache disappeared and never came back. Now you can say it's coincidence, or you can disbelieve it, maybe but she believes it.
Maybe that's why some days we feel so good and some days we have headaches and stuff. Maybe somebody just got that curse on her someplace else.
He's sticking pins in it somewhere. Neil, have you got a doll in your house?
No, I've gone through my house, but I do want to pray this evening, a very short prayer with us all, if you want to do it, that would cancel anything that has been in our life or in our being that's related to cursing. And it's just simply a prayer that can loose you from curses and spells that have been placed upon you, because I think the Bible teaches it. I believe as we are cursed from God, so we can be cursed from Satan as well. So why don't we just stand, and this will be our benediction. Father, I thank you that I'm a Christian. You may pray that if you like. And in the name of Jesus, I now rebuke, break, and loose myself and all my children from any and all evil curses, charms, vexes, hexes, spells, jinx, psychic powers, bewitchments, witchcraft, sorcery that has been put upon me or my family line from any person or persons or from any occult source or psychic source, and I command all connected and related spirits to leave me. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free right now. I praise your name. Amen. And according to God's word, discussion of parent relationship with children, that I am trusting you now by lifting up my hand. It's all just right there. In a split second, she gives me her trust. If she kept her hand back and kept her heart back, she wouldn't be trusting. And we just sang this, I will ever love and trust him. And we can't trust him if we're keeping our heart to ourselves. Let's sing this last stanza in conclusion.